Americans for the Arts.
Support for WMNF comes from our members and the Florida League of Women Voters, offering a solar co-op for Sarasota residents with their nonprofit partner, Solar United Neighbors. Co-op participants will receive guidance on going solar. To learn more, the next information session is Wednesday, July 11th at 6 p.m. at the Jacaranda Library in Venice. For more information, go to solarunitedneighbors.org/Sarasota. Good afternoon. Hope your fourth was safe and enjoyable. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 FM Community Radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session. This is your forum for discussion of the executive branch of your United States government. I'm John Gilmore, joined in the studio this afternoon by Mr. Victor Gomez. Good afternoon, Victor.
Hey, John, how you doing?
It's good to see you again. Hope your fourth was safe and sane. You appear to have arrived with all your digits.
Oh, of course.
And so, all right. Anyway, the sessions are on the air each weekday, Monday through Thursday at this time. It's basically a forum for a discussion of your executive branch of your United States government. They do work for you, you know. So you can join the discussion at 813-239-9663, and that will get you in contact with Mr. James Lyles. Mr. Lyles, we'll answer your call and get you ready to step out onto the floor and voice your opinion here at WMNF. You can reach the studio at dj@wmnf.org by email or 813-433-0885 by text. And also be sure and search for Executive Session on Facebook, because we often get into discussions on the book. And also, we're zeroing in on 500 people following the page. So just for fun, we would like to reach 500 people. And you're welcome to join us at executivesession.wmnf. So we're going to open the session today with an episode of Everyday Ethics. Last Thursday, a man burst into the offices of the Capital Gazette in Annapolis, barricaded the only door that offered escape, and opened fire with a shotgun, killing five people. The investigation revealed that he had sent threatening letters to the offices and had a long-running dispute with the paper about published information concerning a harassment case. All this happens in an atmosphere where the President of the United States almost daily accuses the press of lying, labels the free press the enemy of the people, and has repeatedly directed active hostility toward reporters in his campaign-style rallies. In Everyday Ethics, we'll hear a discussion of this atmosphere and how it affects the professions whose job it is to provide us with the information we need to maintain a free nation. How do you, as a journalist, continue to do your job when guns are pointed at you? Let's talk.
How does the media maintain a civil dialogue when guns are pointed at them? This is Everyday Ethics.
Everyday Ethics is a production of WMNF Tampa, in conjunction with the Poynter Institute. Poynter, a global leader in journalism. Additional support is provided by NYU Langone Medical Center, one of the nation's premier academic medical centers devoted to patient care, education, and research.
Hi, I'm Craig Kopp. I'm in the studios of WMNF Tampa, and this is Everyday Ethics, where we take things that are happening in all of our lives, kind of take them apart ethically, and then talk about it and let you make up some ethical decisions on your own. When I say we, I'm talking about Art Kaplan. He's a medical ethicist at NYU's Langone Medical Center. He's in Connecticut today. Hi, Art.
Hey, Craig.
And Kelly McBride. She's a media ethicist. She's at the Poynter Institute in St. Petersburg, Florida. Hello, Kelly.
Hey, Craig.
Well, just a horrific shooting of journalists and people who worked at a paper in Annapolis, Maryland, brings up a difficult question. The media wants to be open to have a discussion with people who have differing views, but how do you do that when they're opening fire on you?
Just hours after a gunman rampaged through their newsroom, the dedicated staff at the Capital Gazette Company in Annapolis published their regular morning paper. Five of their colleagues were killed in the attack.
The victims range in age from 34 to 65 years old. They include four journalists and a sales assistant for the newspaper. CBS News has new information on why the suspected shooter may have carried out the attack, armed with smoke and a flash grenade and a shotgun.
Police say the suspect, who we've identified as 38-year-old Jared Ramos, threatened the Capital Gazette a few hours before the shooting. He is charged with five counts of first-degree murder.
Kelly, I guess we start with you. This would be in your wheelhouse. It's media ethics. We all talk about wanting to be open. Let's hear all sides of an issue. If you've got an issue with something that I've written or something I've said on the radio, glad to talk to you. But then this kind of thing happens and you wonder, is that even possible right now?
Yeah, one of the unintended consequences of the place that we are in with civil discourse in the United States right now is that the media are becoming more and more closed off. When I started in newspapers, you could just walk into most newsrooms. There was no receptionist. There was no security desk. I worked at the Cleveland Plain Dealer. I worked at the Spokesman Review in Spokane, Washington. And frequently, disgruntled members of the public would walk in wanting to have an argument with you. And that was the point. We realized that in the media, we had an amazing amount of power and privilege by nature of working for the guy who owned a printing press or the guy who owned the television station. And so we wanted to take that responsibly, and we wanted to be engaged in conversation. There were lots of other things that you could do as well, and those things are all available to people, writing a letter to the editor. And now that we have the internet, we have comments on stories, we have Twitter, we have social media, where everybody can have a conversation. But what we know is that face-to-face conversations are the best conversations. They're the ones where you build the most mutual understanding. And that is becoming harder and harder to do with members of the media because you have to have an appointment. You can't just walk into any American newsroom. And we know why, right? Because people are threatening journalists. And there's this public rhetoric of the enemy of the people. And with the shooting in Annapolis, I fear that one of the consequences is the media are going to become less and less accessible, and with good reason. And so I'm wondering what we're going to do about this.
Yeah, I'm absolutely positively struggling with this.
You're going to do the same thing, right? You're going to make your place more secure.
It already is. I mean, you have to get buzzed in. This is a community radio station, though. In its title, it's a community radio station. It's all about the community. We have open houses all the time, potlucks, and all that kind of stuff. And I don't know what to do because, you know, there's a lot of volunteers. They're here 24/7. Do I make a new policy about who you can buzz in? Do I say don't buzz in anybody? In recent months, somebody who was buzzed in and walked right by the receptionist and right into my studios while we were on the air. I wasn't on the air at the time. Oh my God, did that freak me out. And it's not getting any better. Things like this have happened before. I was in another market, Cincinnati, when a guy got buzzed in the evening, apparently didn't know what they were doing, and he took the whole station hostage.
Oh, seriously?
Oh, yeah. Demanded that somebody do an interview, and a documentary team was in there working, and so she did the interview. They literally killed the transmitter. The anchors had to be hardwired into the transmitter to do the news. He eventually killed himself right there in the newsroom.
Yeah, I remember this.
Oh my God, but that was the outlier. But he was a grieved person. He had all kinds of ideas that he wanted out there. And you do want to have that dialogue. But at this point, how do I remain a community resource and keep everybody safe?
So this problem isn't a new problem. Because that happened a couple decades ago,
yes,
right?
Yes.
It's an intensifying problem. We've never had an administration that's dubbed the media the enemy of the people in this country. Other countries have it. And I think that rhetoric stokes up dislike, hatred, or may even motivate some people to act. I don't know that it did in the terrible Annapolis shooting, but it may still be enough to unhinge or maybe make somebody feel they're justified. Remember all those people who went on the hunt for the alleged pizza parlor sex ring?
Yeah.
And a guy showed up with a gun there.
Yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so the president and others, some right-wing conservatives who say, you know, shoot the media, I'm looking forward to that. I think that's ethically irresponsible. Shouldn't be happening. It doesn't get condemned enough when they do it. This comes at a time when Sarah Sanders and others, the press secretary, are calling for civility. It's not civil to go after the media or, for that matter, any group in that fashion. You're setting up more threats of violence. And then I think we have more guns, and we're starting to see people get more inured, I'm sorry to say, to mass shootings and this sort of thing. It seems like every week something happens, and we lose our willingness to sort of combat it or do something about it. So to me, part of the answer to this is I think the media should be safe, and I think they need to take steps to make their environment safe, but I don't think you should withdraw into fortified citadel. I think those potlucks and the community events and the opportunity to have a meeting with journalists to talk about what they do, they just become more structured. There's more security around them, but I hope they don't stop.
Yeah, well, I have no plans on stopping them. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, what's different between the incident that happened decades ago and now is the internet and social media, and people now are getting very used to and accustomed and thinks it's their absolute right and this is what they need to do to just absolutely blast people in the most abhorrent ways.
You're talking about verbally.
Yeah, verbally or in writing on Twitter, mm-hmm. on Facebook. They think that that is now what you do. And then there are a few among them who say, that's not enough for me now, and I need to take it one step further. People who, you know, have a mental problem or whatever it is going on there. But somehow we have become a culture where we think it's okay, and I blanch when I see people say F you to the president on social media.
I do too, or at the television awards.
Yeah, it was at the Tonys, Robert De Niro. I don't buy it. You know, the more you feel emboldened to do that in writing or on social media, the more twisted among us feel emboldened to go further.
Yeah.
And anybody remember the days when we used to argue about the ethics of flaming? Now, yeah. As Craig says, it's become mainstream.
Yeah.
It's what happens, it's what you do, it's how you talk.
The president flames people.
Yep.
Right. And we have, you know, just recently, Milo Yiannopoulos, his standard response to a reporter asking for comment is, I can't wait for the vigilante squads to start gunning journalists down on site.
And that ought to be condemned. And I think we put up with just too much provocative, violent, non-respectful dialogue on the social media. It wouldn't bother me if some of the darn carriers, the Facebooks and Twitters and so on, would start to get tougher. We sort of have this idea that if the police are on the ball, they would anticipate Joe has a grudge and might show up with a gun, or Fred has mental problems and has a gun, so we better be sure we know what he's up to. When I lived in Philadelphia, I once called up the cops and said there was a guy down the street who seemed to me to be a little unhinged, and I thought he might have a gun there. And the cop said to me, look, we got about 3 or 4 murders a week here. When he shoots somebody, call us. They're not going to be able to monitor, do surveillance, and anticipate, and I'm going to say it's too late. We need a better morality on the social media. We need a better morality in civic discourse. Ironically, Sanders was probably right in calling for more respect and civility. It's just that her administration doesn't do it. Critics
right.
then get wound up and they don't do it. You know, it escalates.
Well, this is the thing. What we see is people who disagree with each other accuse each other of incivility. I think that your ethical obligation is to talk to people that you agree with and call them out when you see them mm-hmm. being uncivil.
Well, damn it. That's just too high a standard. What are you talking about?
Let's role model. Art, I respect your opinion. I would like to hear it in a way that doesn't threaten people. Right? That's all you got to say. Because what we're seeing now is Maxine Waters suggesting that it's okay to kick Sarah Huckabee Sanders out of a restaurant because you don't agree with her political views. What I would prefer for that restaurant owner to do is to say, hey, have a great meal. Can I have 5 minutes of your time to share my concerns with you?
Yeah, I saw an interview with Seth Rogen, and he was at some event, and he does stuff about Alzheimer's disease because I think his mother has it. He has a charity, and he was invited by Mitt Romney to go to this thing, and it was, you know, not Seth Rogen's crowd, and he was talking to a couple of teenagers, and they turned out to be Paul Ryan's kids. They had a pleasant conversation, and then Paul Ryan came up and asked him for a selfie, and he goes, no. No. And as a matter of fact, I'm counting the days until you, you know, leave government because I do not agree with what you're doing. He still stuck around, gave his speech, did all that kind of stuff.
Totally respect that, right?
Yes, totally respect that.
This is on all of us, really. I have to admit that I see people that I know and love acting badly on social media. And all I do is turn my head the other way for the most part.
Or not like it.
Yeah, that which is the equivalent of looking the other way. We got to start talking to people that we can talk to, right? That will listen to us.
You know, I'm wondering, I teach, I have students, they're older, I have medical students and usually graduate students, but I never talk to them about social media and what's going on there. Many of them tweet, I see different messages they send out. I don't correct them, I don't challenge them in terms of language. Most of my students in New York City tend to be more left than right, and maybe it's because they're saying things that I agree with, but I think I could do a better job as a teacher, and I know we could do a better job in high schools and junior high schools. I mean, these are habits, right? So you start getting used to talking in certain ways or insulting your enemies or thinking you're going to be drawing a lot of attention or followers if you sort of get crazier. And I think that merits an educational response, too.
And it also requires that you actually care about the person. You will not be effective convincing them they're actually causing harm, and maybe even causing harm to themselves, by sharing incivil, uncivil speech, unless you actually care about them. It's a concept in business called radical candor.
I love that.
I like that. I was going to add one other example from my experience. So I do a lot of columns and op-ed pieces on very controversial stuff. Write about abortion, write about assisted suicide, stem cell research, cloning, animal research. These are things that really get people wound up. And what I've said is, I am going to try and answer every person, no matter how nutty their or threatening their email is to me. I don't get too many phone calls anymore, but I get plenty of highly motivated emails, shall we say. But I do try to answer them. I don't ignore them. I try to answer them civilly, you know, not at length, but I let the person know I saw it and I don't agree, or they made a point, but I, whatever. And I would say about 10% of the time I do get back a conciliatory message from someone who was really saying they were going to come shoot me, saying, you know, I didn't think you'd answer, I'm impressed. So one thing to do also is perhaps, even though somebody may be attacking or flaming or threatening or whatever, I'm not sure the best thing to do is to ignore it. It may be just to say, you know, I hear you, I know you're mad, I don't appreciate the way you're approaching me, but let's agree to disagree or something.
Yeah, be willing to engage. I learned this lesson so long ago. I was like 22 years old and working at a newspaper.
And that was like last year, right?
2 years ago. Mm-hmm. We would get the phone call maybe once a week in the evening from just an angry, angry man, and he just would yell and yell and yell. And one day I was like, you want to go get coffee? And talking to him in person, he was completely different. And this is, I think, where we started. There are very few number of people who are going to act out violently, but they're ruining it for everybody because, Craig, you and I and Art at your hospital, we have an obligation to keep people safe from that very, very small, minuscule group of people who want to harm us, and also figure out how we can continue to be engaged in conversations with everybody else who doesn't want to harm us, but fundamentally disagrees with what we believe.
Right. The one thing that out of this conversation I take away is we all have a role in this in terms of creating an environment where people think they need to take the next step because they've been able to go on social media and do all this kind of stuff and just be horrible, horrible human beings. We need to speak up when people we know are being horrible human beings. On you're feeding the beast.
We need to role model how to disagree. And we need to call out people who are doing it in a way that doesn't promote conversation, but instead just furthers the polarization that we're facing in our country.
So let us know if you disagree. Just do it in a respectful way.
Yes. And just one last thing here. The fact that, I forget the newspaper's name in Annapolis. What was the name of the newspaper?
Capital
Gazette, right?
Capital Gazette. They put out a paper, and the quote that I'm going to take away as being a journalist my entire life, and Kelly, you too, and Art, you're technically one at this point, we're going to put out a damn paper. One of the best lines I've ever heard, because that is what it's all about. We're just trying to put the information out, and we're not going to let anything, including a gun, stop us. So kudos to them. Just a marvelous thing. For Kelly McBride and Art Kaplan, I'm Craig Kopp, and this is Everyday Ethics, knowing the difference between what you have a right to do and what is right to do. Everyday Ethics is produced, engineered, and edited by Dustin Happily, and our researcher is
Christina Sokarenko.
It's a beautiful day in this neighborhood, a beautiful day for a neighbor. Would you be mine? Could you be mine? It's a neighborly day in this beauty wood, a neighborly day for a beauty.
Civility in discourse, civility in disagreement. Democracy is a fractious, loud, unstable form of government, fraught with disagreement. And yet we have a republic here, all of us, to run. And we have to, from within ourselves, chart the course for this republic of ours. How do we conduct our discourse? How do we have the conversations and share the information and even disagree about how we want our country to go in a way that doesn't cause damage? 813-239-9663 will get you into contact with Mr. James Lyles. Mr. Lyles will get you ready to step in. We are going to have, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to have a couple of words from about some information about the station, and then we are going to go straight into a conversation about this. And you can reach us by phone, 813-239-9663, and we will be back to the phones in just a moment.
The WMNF Americana Fest takes place July 14th at Skipper's Smokehouse. The annual summer event is a great showcase for roots rockin' bands from the Southeast. The lineup includes the Hummingbirds, Oak Ramble, American Songbox, Matt Woods, Hangtown, Band of Sorrows, Cottondale Swamp, Joshua Riley, Hannah Harbor and the Lionhearts, and the 502s. 4 p.m. to midnight, the WMNF Americana Fest.
Is your unwanted car just creating stress? Well, donate it to WMNF, and it will create more hours of your favorite programs. Call 888-966-3885 or visit WMNF.org to schedule your free and convenient pickup today.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men, woman. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again. carol was loud and great.
And here we are in session for July 5th, the day after Independence Day. A lot of talk about the military yesterday. Did you hear anybody talking about those guys that put their lives at risk to write that thing, that declaration, and then sign it and send it to the King of England? Because, you know, that was treason. And they could have gotten themselves in just a little bit of trouble if this thing hadn't gone the way they wanted it to. Elizabeth, good afternoon. You're in executive session. How are you this afternoon?
I am fine, John. And you?
I am well. I have survived the shell shock of last night. We had some extremely imaginative fireworks displays around our neighborhood. Some of which sound a little bit like recordings I've heard of salvos, of artillery salvos. So
that's what I kept thinking.
Yeah.
That all that banging, I didn't go look, but I sure heard it.
Yeah. So this, you have many times expressed alternative opinions here in the session, and have done so with grace and civility. What do you think of the conversation that you just heard?
Well, it was civil.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything wrong with the present trend of conversations. The program that was on just before you were Surly Voices.
Mm-hmm.
No, they solved the problem of a dissenting opinion by just hanging up the phone.
Yeah, I don't know if if we could just hang up on each other, it might be. I don't know. It would be interesting. Just to, you know, you're in the middle of a conversation, you just go and walk away.
It works. It stops it. It works.
Yeah, you know what do you think that you've been watching politics for a while, and you've seen the country go through agreements and disagreements and crises before. What do you think of the tone of conversation right now?
I think it is very querulous.
Mm.
There is an awful lot of question out there about what the hell is going on and why.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a solution for it. Do you?
No. Well, one of the things, I don't have a solution for it, but there was something. Now, I was born down south of here in middle of last century, so you know, so I got that whole Southern gentleman thing. And so I actually, I'm actually a big fan of manners.
Manners are should be just absolutely obligatory. They are not all the time, and it is rather annoying to have to deal with it in a civil manner.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes
yeah.
Your best bet is just to say, okay, turn your back and walk away.
Yeah, there are. There are places where, I mean, you know, if you're, say, in customer service, if you're in business, you actually need to be able to deal with people's disagreement and people's complaints in a way that's civil, or you'll lose customers.
Oh yeah,
and
fired pretty soon too.
Yeah.
I imagine.
So there is a call. There is a way that civility makes things work. That the querulousness you were addressing doesn't seem to.
Well, that is an art, and I don't know that everyone possesses it to be able to speak calmly and say, no, you are wrong, and this is the reason why, and not get your face slapped or something like that is an art.
All right. All right, Elizabeth. Anything else for the day, young lady?
Yes, I was listening to a program that y'all had on yesterday, and I loved that group, The Capital Step.
Yes, ma'am.
Wonderful. They wonderful.
They are something to behold, aren't they?
I have a new name. I'm sure you heard it, too.
Uh-huh.
It is Mr. President Trummeled Dump.
Okay.
That's marvelous.
All right. Well, listen, those are some of the most inventive people around, and I absolutely love to listen to their work, and I was very, very pleased to hear them on our airwaves yesterday.
They were just grand, as usual.
All right. Listen, young lady, we're going to go along and check some more folks out, get some more people here in the conversation, and look forward to talking to you next week.
Good to talk to you, John.
Sure always. Enough. All right, 813-239-9663, civility in discourse and the effect of the current atmosphere. What do you think of the current atmosphere around journalism in the United States? And it extends out into the world. Being a journalist in the world right now is a pretty dangerous proposition, but... We're gonna try and limit our remarks this afternoon to the civility of the discourse and the atmosphere for journalism in the United States. What do you think of what's going on? Rob and Thanota Sassa, good afternoon. Rob, you're in executive session. You have the floor.
Thanks, John. I don't know exactly why it was that paper was attacked. The group that was speaking earlier, the Everyday Ethics crew, didn't quite specify why that was. I mean, I don't think that really had anything to do with a general dissatisfaction with the media. I believe it was very specific.
Yeah, what happened was this guy apparently had a long simmering grudge,
right,
with the paper, and it had something to do with them printing something about a harassment charge, to which he apparently pled guilty.
Right.
A number of years ago, 7 or 8 years ago.
So this is something akin to a post office thing, you know, where it's not on general principles. It's just, okay, this guy had a personal grudge. It doesn't make it any less atrocious.
Yeah.
But the point is, it wasn't someone acting out ideologically or something like that.
Yeah, not that we know of. The guy has been apparently very uncooperative with the investigators, to the point where at one point they actually said that he had done something to obscure his fingerprints, so they had to identify him by facial recognition. So, the only thing I wondered if in the atmosphere. I wonder about the atmosphere.
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because I have heard, I mean, I've heard presidents disagree with the press, and I've heard presidents who didn't like the press, and President Lyndon Johnson had some very colorful things to say about the press, you know, but never from the podium. He never made them public. It was never, you guys are fake, you're liars, nobody, I don't ever remember anyone in this country calling the free press the enemy of the people.
Right. Well, I think because of Trump's stature as president, he seems like, in a sense, the source. But I am certain that this has gone... he's kind of more of a symptom, although a very prominent one, of a problem that's been going on for a while, on both the left and the right, which is to question the legitimacy of the press in general. And that's not just on the right. It's on both sides. I mean, a caller in the Rob Lori show earlier, and he was very far to the left, and he was taking it from the other side about the New York Times, that they're just shills for corporate America, you know, which is, you know, to someone on the right, that's a joke because they're communists, you know. So which
they're not shills, they're commies.
Right, it's like Noam. That's the Noam Chomsky approach, that Times and the Post, well, they're just fronts for corporate America, and they'll never really criticize the culprits of why things are screwed up. They're part of the military industrial complex and so on and so forth. Whereas, you know, on the right, it's more like, oh no, they're all left wing nuts and so on. But the thing is, they're getting it from both sides.
Mm-hmm.
And as far as the civility, I don't think that it goes to this thing of deplatforming speakers, and it goes to the idea that
did you use the word deplatforming?
Yeah, that's
a very interesting. I hadn't heard that word used before. That's very interesting.
It's happened several times in colleges across the country. I think there was I could give you the information, but Evergreen State or something, and there was another one by Berkeley, where, you know, if you have a speaker, and it's usually guys on the right.
Yeah.
And so, like, if you don't agree with them, these student groups, they feel they have a right to use, really violence. Mm-hmm. There was one where actually a professor who was a liberal invited this conservative speaker, and the students got so unruly, she actually was knocked down and had a head injury, and the person couldn't speak. But I do think that when you start getting into the realm of, I have a right to attack people verbally, as we're seeing with the sort of Maxine Waters thing, that can easily spill over into physical violence, which has actually happened.
Well, that's it. When you have correct. I mean, you know, like you said, it can easily spill over. And when you've got someone standing in the front of a huge crowd saying, "Knock the hell out of them," that guy should be carried out on a stretcher.
Yeah, and I don't absolve Donald Trump. Oh, he is definitely a source of it. But you know, the thing is, when it starts ratcheting up on both sides, well, he said that. Now we're justified at taking it to the next level, and then the other side will take it to the next level, and then something bad is going to happen.
Yeah.
You will have someone who, like you, they were saying in the group, the ethics group, you know, all of a sudden, if normal people take, all right, let's say it's not violent to tell Bondi or someone like that, hey, you know, you shouldn't be here at Tampa Theater, or to tell, you know, okay, that you're not throwing bricks. That's true. Mm-hmm. But the problem is, the people on the fringe will feel like they can take it that step further. The unstable person might do that or might do worse. You know?
Yeah, that's a good thing to shine a light into, because once you abandon the sort of the structure of civility.
Right.
And then what you're talking about, in terms of escalation, seems to me to actually be more likely that, you know, you guys are going to scream at me while I'm going to throw something at you.
Right, and the right is very guilty, because when you listen to Michael C. Savage and, you know, a lot of these guys on AM radio, I mean, they're very close to advocating, you know, a sort of militancy of some kind or other. You know, it's almost like coded, you know, well, I'm not saying to go out and do anything violent, but boy, you know, if somebody did, I don't know that I'd be too unhappy about it. You know, not in those words, but they're very belligerent, and they're stoking the fires of people who might be the ones to go out. It's like the thing with McVeigh. I think that with McVeigh, he was reading or had contact with this really radical sort of like neo-white supremacist kind of person, and this guy was writing these books that were extremely, you know, militant. Mm-hmm. And even though this guy never did anything, he was, you know, through reading this material, McVeigh was somewhat inspired, if I'm not mistaken, if not in whole, at least partially by that. So you have people who are instigators who would never do anything, but, you know, you've got to be aware when you put that out there, there's going to be someone who will take the bait, and maybe that's what, you know, people want that.
Well, if there's somebody out there who is just sort of agitated in general, and, you know, there are things that trigger folks.
Right.
And you know, it's hard to say. Like the guy in Annapolis, if I recall correctly, which is always worth questioning, that what had happened is that he had filed suit against the paper, and apparently that suit was dismissed. And apparently that suit was dismissed the week before he did this.
I see.
So you may have that as a kind of precipitating event. He, you know, as long as he thought he had a means to settle his grudge, you know, that he was going to punish the paper, that he could get the courts to punish the paper for what it is that they did that he disagreed with.
Right.
Then he was just, you know, angry. But when I studied with a guy who used to say that violence is the final discourse of the helpless, or the final response of the helpless.
Right. So you that's it. Yeah,
you reduce people to being helpless, and that's when you're likely to get violence.
That's the thing. But, you know, sometimes people, I mean, you could have looked at this guy Cruz, and, well, you know, that's the system took its course and lost, so just sort of suck it up and move on. But he didn't. And, you know, sometimes whether a person truly is helpless or whether they merely...
Yeah, the perception...
Self-perceive themselves
exactly
as helpless, you know, then that's a whole different thing. And that's not based on anything objective. It's just a completely subjective a sort of lens through which you might view yourself or some group that you're in. So you have to be very careful who you designate as helpless, because then that can be the rationale.
Exactly. All right, listen, Rob, thank you very much. Okay. I appreciate your guest appearance in executive session this afternoon. Thank you very much. Your comments have been very interesting.
All right,
appreciate it. 813-239-9663 will get you into executive session this afternoon. Mr. James Lyles will answer your call, and we'll get you ready to step in right now. We are going to step out of the conversation for just a moment and bring you some information about what's going on around the station, and also remind you about some of the other people who are in partnership with you in supporting your radio station.
What does a real hero look like? Find out Sunday, August 19th, when WMNF hosts its first celebration of homegrown heroes at Gulfport Casino. WMNF will honor Tampa Bay individuals and organizations who are sowing the seeds of equality and peace and promoting social, economic, and environmental justice. From now until July 15th, you can nominate a person or group as a homegrown hero. Go to WMNF.org for more information and to make a nomination. Then mark your calendar for WMNF's Homegrown Heroes Celebration, August 19th in Gulfport.
Support for WMNF comes from our members in Happy Feet Plus, a locally owned full-service footwear store featuring Birkenstock, Kenco massage sandals, and many other name brands. Happy Feet Plus offers footwear fashioned to provide relief to people with foot, leg, knee, and back pain. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com.
Hi, this is Larnell Scott with a WMNF community announcement. Superheroes are fun to watch at the movies. However, there are almost 1,000 abused and neglected children in Pasco and Pinellas counties waiting for real-life superheroes to volunteer as guardians ad litem and become their voices. These precious children need volunteers to help them find safe, permanent homes. Guardian ad litem volunteers become superheroes to our community's children. You may learn more at herotoachild.org.
Now, Victor.
Yes, sir.
You are in mass communications at the University of South Florida.
Yes, I am.
Yes, you are, and you are studying an arm of journalism,
mm-hmm.
And you're also at the university. And this gentleman we were just talking to brought up something that kind of got my attention. And that's this whole thing about, what does he call it, deplatforming?
Deplatforming?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Is that something that's in common usage around where you are? I know you know about the events, but I just wondered if that was something that was actually a term.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really something that's used at the University of South Florida. It's not really something that you're taught in the classroom over there.
Mm-hmm.
So that's something that I haven't personally have used over there at University of South Florida during my time. And, I mean, you just have to really be careful wherever you go, no matter who you interview, really.
Mm-hmm.
And being a part of their communications department and as well as studying journalism, nowadays, from what I've realized, going out into the public and actually interviewing, whether it be something political or something as easy as just going to go review a restaurant,
mm-hmm.
Everybody is so cautious on basically what you're going to ask in each interview. I've gone to a restaurant and I've told them that I want to do a podcast on them, on just the history of the restaurant, and they've needed to have questions of what I'm going to ask them,
yeah,
just so that
right.
they can be prepared. And yeah. It's like, I'm not trying to ruin your business. I'm not trying to do anything like that. I'm trying to actually give you some notoriety. I'm trying to help you gain some attention yeah. through this podcast. And people are just are just worried about what's going to be going on with them.
So in the atmosphere at the university, I went to university, it was just after we stopped using clay tablets and styluses, we actually expected to be confronted with ideas that were new,
mm-hmm.
unusual.
Yes.
Possibly even disturbing.
Mm-hmm, of course.
And I wonder, do you see a problem with that now? Do the people out at the university, do they expect to go through and get a degree without ever confronting
that? It's funny that you say that, because a lot of people go into communications and they don't think that they're ever going to talk to anybody, which is not true. I can talk to the wall. I can talk to anybody. It doesn't matter who you are or what you are. But I mean, you have to go out there and you have to speak. And a lot of the people that I've been with in these classes, they come in and they think that they don't have to talk to anybody, that it's basically you interview someone over the phone and that's really about it, and that's the most they're going to go do. Hmm. No, you actually go out and meet these people face to face. And from what I've picked up nowadays, people are just scared to just go out and talk to people. If you're going to be a journalist, if you're going to be in communications, you have to learn to talk to people.
Yeah.
If you can't go out and talk to somebody on the phone, what makes you think you can be a journalist?
Yeah.
Nowadays, people don't even like to communicate over the phone. They like to text.
Yeah.
That's not how things are nowadays. It's ridiculous.
All right, let me remind you that you can join our conversation here at 813-239-9663. We have actually opened up a little bit of a branch conversation here, talking about civility on university campuses, deplatforming speakers, and as it is included in the matter of civility as a general rule. What do you think of the level of the civility of our discourse in the United States now? Do you think that disagreements can be voiced safely? Do you feel that you can talk to people about your political views and be heard? And do you think that you can entertain views other than yours and hear them? What do you think of the tone? What do you think of the tone? We've had people chased out of restaurants. We've had people yelled at coming out of movie theaters. We've had a congresswoman who was pretty strident in her remarks. I did not think that she actually called for violence, but it was easy to get there from mm-hmm. where she did say. So 813-239-9663. We've got an open line. You can, if your digits are dexterous, you can get in here with us. Right now we're talking to Mr. Victor Gomez, who is here with us as an intern in the mass communication department out at the University of South Florida, somebody who actually is at I guess USF is now a major university, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
I mean, I was here when that was woods. I lived in Tampa when that was a piece of flat woods out there. So, watching it develop into the institution that it is right now has just been astonishing for me. I mean, you know, if you'd have said something. When I was out there about them having a football team, they would have laughed you off the campus. So, you know, it's just, anyway, you know, that's a, it's a wide ranging conversation. It is, and in order to have political discourse, in order for us to be able to debate, mm-hmm. we actually have to be able to do point and counterpoint, and we have to be able to do that in a fashion that is civil. Otherwise, it's dangerous.
No, of course.
So, anyway, Oh, we see we got a phone call coming in here, and I'm not exactly sure who that is. But anyway, we're just gonna wait for that to show up. So, civil discourse. What do you think of the news? What do you think of the newspapers? We're in the lightning round, by the way, so we're about to close out. We're going to have Stuart Mellish and Amanda Doyle are going to come in here and take you through the afternoon. And I had a lovely piece of copy all set up here that I was going to read that had all these wonderful band names in it, and that's great. So, but what I'm going to tell you is show up. Stay tuned, because they're going to bring you a program of music that's going to take you through the afternoon and is going to deliver you unto the traffic jam, which is going to get you back to the house on this lovely, sweltering July afternoon here in beautiful Tampa. So, the phones are acting oddly, because I see that there are people on them, but I don't know. I'm gonna do something weird. You ready to do
it?
Yeah,
let's go. Go for it.
Here we go. Are you there? Are you there? The answer to the question is no.
Nobody's there.
Oh, now all of a sudden there are three lines. Oh, this is a lot of fun. I don't remember when I had this much fun with all my clothes on. We are going to be headed out of here for Thursday. By the way, just so you know, we're going to be back here on Monday, as we so frequently are, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, to open another discussion on the executive branch of your United States government. And we're going to be, I don't know exactly yet what we're going to entertain, because as you know, we consistently call this Buckle Up Thursday. And if you've been around for a while, you know why. last Thursday was just a heartbreaker. I mean, you know, to walk out of the studio and within hours find out that there had been an attack on a newspaper was just unbelievable. I think what we're going to do is just flap our jaws here for another few minutes and coast on out of here. Thank you for your participation. Urge you to support your community radio station, by the way. We are very fortunate and extremely happy to have actually exceeded our goal for the summer drive. I don't think there is ever a contribution that comes into the radio station and we go, oh no, that's too much. We gotta, you know, we don't need that. So if you hear something on your radio station that you are that you appreciate, if you get to express an opinion that you wouldn't have gotten an opportunity to express, if you hear someone else express an opinion that you hadn't thought of, that's what we do here. And this is the most amazing facility. This community has built a radio station around itself. And what it uses that facility for is to reach out across the world and bring itself entertainment, music, public affairs, the widest range of things that you can imagine. You can hear music from Ireland. You can hear music of Native American music. You can come in here on Saturday night and listen to the breakdowns, and you can hear live poetry on the radio. I mean, you have people come in here, mm-hmm. do live poetry. Where, you know, ask your friends, what's on your radio station?
This isn't like one of those big radio stations where all you have is just top 100s. This is really a mixed variety. It's like a box of chocolates. You didn't really never know what you're going to get.
Well, if you tune up the radio station and you don't like what you hear, come back in about 2 hours.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because there is a very, very strong likelihood that what you hear in 2 hours from now is going to be very different from what you heard before. And So we're in the last minute here, and we are, like I said, we're going to sign off for the week. Thank you very much for your participation. It is always, always a joy to come in here and sit and have these conversations with you 4 days a week, as we do each week, and we will be back next week. And like I said, don't know exactly what we're going to be talking about. Sometimes on Monday we do catch-up, which is to say, just throw it open and ask you to tell us what it was that you saw over the weekend. In the meantime, this is Driver 1058.
Keep your eyes on the road, you hand upon the wheel. Keep your eyes on the road.
This is WMNF.